everybody. Welcome back to Messages to Me podcast. We are here as usual, sitting in my living room, corner area sort of thing. And I'm here to share some stuff because isn't that what life is all about? Sharing. We are here on episode 13. And yeah, last week would have been 12, so that makes it a different episode than today, where we talked about quite a bit. Today's episode may echo a little bit of things we spoke about last episode, but not too much. I think this episode we're really moving forward on how we can all work together and start realizing how important it is for us to truly come together and not do this thing I would like to call, and what other people have called, the struggle Olympics. But we're going to get into that. As you know, each and every episode, I'm going to talk about what I learned, what I dreamed, and what I've seen. And for today's episode, the quick bit on what I've dreamed was a lot. There was a lot going on in my dream. Bridges, what? Saving a drowning person. It was a lot. In terms of what I've learned, hugging. We're going to talk about hugs because I think hugs matter. And then what I've dreamed. I mean, no, what I've seen. What I've seen. Really, this is where we're going to talk about that struggle Olympics. And you'll truly understand what I mean when we get to that point. But anyways, let's kick off today's episode with what I've dreamt, because I feel like this has also tied heavily into a lot of the other things that we're going to talk about today. So, what I dreamed. First of all, let me give you a disclaimer. It was a long dream. It was a whole lot of dreaming happening in this dream. And so, there's a lot of scenarios that mix and match and sound kind of weird. But I'm going to try to give you as much as I can without sounding too all over the place. Like, you know, I know sometimes I can sound really all over the place, but no, I'm really gonna try my best to not be all over the place with this dream. All right, so I'm actually gonna read it out loud based on what I wrote because I didn't want to forget. Okay, so I was actually working within, I guess I was with some friends who work in community services, and I was trying to get some people to squash some issues that they had between community members and the workers. The workers were my friends, and the community members were just people in the community who obviously deserved to get heard by the community workers. And for some reason, no one was budging. Like, it was out of a very selfish place. Everyone wanted to commit to only what they wanted to do, but they weren't going further. So it was just a big issue. And I tried to step in as like the mediator, just trying to encourage people to like realize how they have to lean in so that there can be more understanding. Okay. But no one wanted to budge. And again, everyone stuck in their feelings. Nobody wanted to negotiate. So at the same time, at the same time as this is happening, it switches, scene switch, and I'm looking for places to do karaoke, me and another friend. And we finally find a place, but it was really empty. And I had these powers, I don't know. I had some powers. I couldn't tell you what the power was. And in the dream, I was carrying something. I don't know what package it was. I don't know if it was even a package, but I can remember in this dream having something in my hand. It wasn't a human. It was almost like a gift, but it was powers of some sort. And I knew I had powers. So something in the dream gave away that I had the power to do something different or something big. Anyways, so that scene switches back to me and my friend who was working community services, and we're driving in pretty much what looks like New York, and we're driving on the highway, and it's very windy, topsy-turvy roads that you might see in like LA or the movies where there's a high-speed chase and all that sort of stuff. And as we're curving around this road, there's an area where the car has to drop down onto another road. Like, this is how the highway is. And it drops down into like this soft, cushiony space, and it just continues driving. And you could see all these other cars who already did it at the bottom. But I was scared because I've never seen anything like this in my life. But again, it's a dream. Dreams are weird like that. So we go down. I'm scared, but then we're just, I guess in the dream, I was just like, I have to do it. So I did it. Drop down to the next level and keep drive. Well, now we're in traffic, actually. And so we're just stopped there. And I'm just looking back, just thinking like, what the heck kind of road is this in the dream? Okay. So cool. Moving along. Then, cause I told you I'm reading this cause it was a lot. So at some point after the karaoke scene switch, we were walking back to the other, to another place, and we ended up on my old street, in a sense, or a road close to my old street, which is Morningside. If you're from Scarborough, you know what I'm talking about. So we were on Morningside, and we're coming down the bridge on Morningside. So there's a big park called Morningside Park. And where I used to live, it was on one side closer to this area, Kingston Road, and it was really busy. It was on one side of the park, and then the bridge goes down a hill and then goes up, and it passes through the park, essentially. So you could see deers and stuff from the side of the road every now and then. So this road, Morningside, in my dream wasn't there. Instead, there was a skinny bridge that was covered and enclosed, and it was enclosed, enclosed, enclosed. So me and a couple of friends are walking down just fine. One of the people we know is carrying a stroller with their kid in it. And, you know, we have our kids walking with us. And then all of a sudden, say we get down like 3/4 of the way of this bridge, all of a sudden the bridge is open. Like, the enclosure is no longer there. It's just rails on the side. And it's very flimsy, like aluminum rails. The floor was fine and secure, but it was just the fact that these big rails, and there's kids here, so it was scary now. I was scared, and I didn't want anyone to get hurt by falling off, obviously, because it's scary and it's a bridge. So then I tell the kids to, like, come and form a line, and we keep going down, and I know I was feeling scared, but we just kept going forward, and I was like, okay, that's it. Don't worry about it. You're good, girl. So then in that time, I was, as we got to the very bottom of the bridge, which was like just the ground of the bridge, the ground of the park, there was like a river or like a little, there was like a river pond. I don't know how to describe this thing. And it's this little body of water that we would have to jump over in order to get to the other side. So the bridge ends and then we got to jump over this water to get to the other side. No one really had difficulty doing that. It was just like stepping over a river, but the river pond was also higher than the road. So like, I know you can't see me if you're listening, but imagine a road and then there's a river passing in front of this road. And imagine a road, and perpendicular to the road you have a river passing, but it's higher than the road, but it's not overflowing onto the road. It's like, it's almost like it's contained and it's just flowing. Yeah, I know. That's crazy symbolism. But anyway, instead of running away, one of the kids just run. So one of the kids we were with runs into the water. And so someone jumps and they try to like pick him up because he's obviously struggling in the water. And then I jump straight through the river. So instead of jumping above it, I jumped through the river and grab the kid by the hair and take him out the water so he doesn't drown. And then, yeah, that was that. Okay, so that was my dream, right? The thing about this dream is the bridge. And I haven't had a bridge dream in a long time. And usually bridge dreams are very, very scary for me. They're very symbolic. Oftentimes I fell off the bridge into water. Oftentimes I'm crossing a border. And it was never a good thing when I had bridge dreams. It always led to an uneasiness. And something was happening in my life. I couldn't tell you what, but something usually was going on. So I obviously was like, let me look up this bridge dream again. And so what I found is that a bridge dream usually symbolizes you crossing from one area of your life to another. So a possible transition and you needing to let go of, well, not needing to let go, but like, yeah, essentially you are letting go of what was there before and moving on to the next stage. And to be honest, I really feel like that is happening. And because depending on the bridge, if it's uneasy, if you're passing over a bridge that's kind of scary, it could mean that you're passing through some difficult times. And it also communicates a bit of uneasiness in your emotions. I haven't felt uneasy in my emotions recently, maybe like one time, but I also feel like after doing therapy pretty consistently, and then also just doing this podcast, which is very healing and transformative for myself, I feel as though this bridge is truly symbolic of the process I'm actually going through in my life. And I'm more stable, or more secure in myself and the position that I'm in currently. I feel like I'm letting go of the scared version of me who was actually afraid to share any of the things I'm doing with people. And I'm ready to move into that next stage of, let me promote myself. Yeah, I have not promoted this podcast at all. This has just been, for me, a form of therapy and a form of practice, I guess. And then on top of that, I know when it comes to the businesses I've been working on, like, it's right there. The money is there. And I'm not allowing it to flow within, like, to flow outward to me. I'm allowing it to be tied up within itself as opposed to it coming through. And I feel as though I'm now stepping out of that idea that I need to be scared of making money, because how will it look to other people? Am I being humble in this process? I'm using humble as a means to stop me from actually accessing the abundance and the wealth that I could, and just going into a mode of lack, I guess, or scarce. I'm going into a mindset that's not conducive to being the great person I know I believe I'm supposed to be, you know? Anyways, then the other part that I had to look at, because this one was really confusing, was the drowning piece. And it said, if you rescue a stranger, it means, like, out of all the parts I read, this part resonated the most. If you're rescuing a stranger, it means you feel like you have to rescue others. You have to rescue, like, society and stuff like that. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I will sit on social media and be reading some stuff and I'm just like, man, how are we gonna educate everyone? Or, man, I wish we could all work together better. Man, how am I gonna get everyone to see that, like, we're actually super powerful beings? And this is not to say I feel like I'm a savior. I feel like I'm here to just assist the shift along, whichever form that may be, whether it's through my speaking, whether that's through writing, whether that's through just building community at a market, or just speaking to people one-on-one. I don't know the process of this happening. Well, I have a good idea. Inside of me, I have a very clear vision of what's going to take place. And I could feel it in everything in me. So that part of the dream, it made sense when I read it, because I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And then also the fact that the water was so, this is the part that's confusing me, I'm not going to lie. The water was contained. What does that mean? Like, what does that actually mean? Contained water? Just like, what? Yeah, anyways. And then the whole dropping of the car thing, when I was scared at first, taking a leap of faith, like, this all is working hand in hand. The contained water, though, if anybody has any idea what that means, please message me. And also share your dreams. I actually would love to hear what kind of dreams you guys are having, because what if we're actually connected? So yeah, moving along. That was my dream. I feel like I got the message loud and clear. And oh, I forgot to mention the whole powers thing and me carrying this thing. Oh my gosh, I swear to you, my heart is like, it's right here, that thing I'm carrying. it's almost like I'm getting this heavy feeling of, like, you know when you're so excited to do something? There's a bit of that, and there's also, like, just, I know this is true. I'm carrying something. I don't know what it is, but I'm carrying something special. And, like, yeah, I have a power, though. I have a power currently. So that was really, that was magical. That was, what a dream, man. What a dream. So listen to your dreams, guys. It's telling you something important. It's telling you something that you need to know. My screen. And yeah, like, what? Anyways, let's move on. I spent a long time focused on the dream, but it was just so much going on. Anyways, let's move into what I learned this week. So what did I learn, guys? Do you want to know? Okay, so what I learned was I learned about hugs. I was actually going to come on here and talk to you guys about some stuff I learned regarding, like, clairaudience and, like, our spiritual gifts and stuff like that. But honestly, this one resonated so much more as something I needed to talk about first. Hugs. Hugs are scientifically proven to actually help reduce stress, improve your cardiovascular health. They help psychologically by helping you feel more secure. It releases oxytocin and serotonin, which enhances feelings of security and safety. So you feel more supported overall. It enhances bonding, and that's why it's also called the love hormone, oxytocin. Believe it or not, oxytocin is what you want to secrete during childbirth. So the funny thing is, I don't think me and Sheldon were hugging that much. He may rub my back and stuff, but I think next time I go into labor, I'm about to, like, just full on hug him the whole time. Maybe even hug the midwife and whoever is in the room at the time. Yeah. So hug more. And it gives me such a warm feeling to think about this, because yes, we absolutely should. Like, what does it hurt to give a hug? And it goes back to this whole COVID situation and how it really, really impacted people in such traumatic ways, and we could not feel supported in any way because we were afraid to hug each other. In a lot of situations, we weren't giving hugs like we used to. We would sit next to people, but, you know, it might be a high five or an elbow max if people were willing to even touch each other. And when I think about that, it's just sad. So even though, yes, COVID is still technically around and flu season is upon us, if you're wearing a mask and you're wearing a jacket, I'm going to encourage you guys to hug each other for the sake of supporting our whole society becoming better and feeling supported in this process of undoing the traumas, the sadness, and the hurt and the pain that took place during COVID. Hugs have been proven to do all of these things, to have this effect. So I want to see it. But yeah, hug more. Me and my best friend barely hug, but it's funny because recently we will hug every now and then. And we always laugh about how funny it is that we don't hug each other, but, like, we hug all of our other friends. And I feel like, yes, we are so close, but I'm going to start forcing her to take my hugs. I'm going to hug her every time I see her. But anyways, I also feel like when I just get a hug sometimes from Sheldon or from my mom or anyone really, even Phoenix, it just feels, it's so warm. And, like, even I hug my dog. It really is warm. Maybe this is why I'm so happy most of the time, because I hug people around me. And I feel like people who don't get as much hugs tend to be a little bit more cold. And it makes perfect sense. But yeah, start encouraging hugs. And for the people you see who tend to be a little bit colder, if it's comfortable or if it's safe or if it's okay, maybe ask permission. Like, hey, is it possible I could just give you a hug? I appreciate you. And I feel like I may not be able to get you a gift, or I may not be able to take you out and go get food, but I just want to give you a hug so you know how much I appreciate you as someone in my life. And you don't have to do the whole spiel, but you could honestly probably just say like, hey, I really appreciate you. And I think it was like 20 seconds. A 20 second hug has the impact of improving people's mood entirely or something. I didn't get to finish reading that article, but yeah. My bit on what I learned this week is hugs. I didn't know it was scientific, but I did know it was energetic. And energetically, I know a hug is going to make a world of a difference for everybody. So yeah, big hugs to everybody. And this brings us to the very last part, which is sometimes and oftentimes the more serious part of this, which shouldn't be like that because like I'm here to have fun, and aren't you guys? But here we are. We're gonna talk today about what I've seen, and what I've seen has been, as usual, a whirlwind. As you know, we were talking about the article, the whole situation with Kyrie and anti-Semitism, and we were talking about, just Black Hebrews and what that could really mean. I'm going to start off by saying what I seen on social media. I guess with Dave Chappelle, he did a sketch and he was talking about some things about Jewish people as well, and also talking about just other things as well. And sadly, people tried to brand it as he is echoing Kanye's statements, which he really was not. But the clips were most definitely edited and put together to make it seem like he was saying something bad. But even in the clip, he didn't say anything bad. So it was kind of wild, like just crazy. And you could see the trauma of Holocaust victims, not victims, but trauma of Holocaust survivors. I don't think I'm using that right. So the family of Holocaust survivors, that's it. You could see it come back up because people are like, this hatred towards Jews, I don't want to see it happen again, never again. And I understood what they meant by that. But really what we were seeing was not this like overwhelming, well, you know what? This is why it is also dangerous for Kanye's statements to be what they were, because it is generally, it was a hate statement. And that would probably scare anybody. The same way he said he might shoot up the school, that would scare anybody. Especially people who have trauma from active shooters at schools and all of those things, okay? So I got what that person was saying. Now, one of the saddest things I'm seeing is when someone says, you know, the Holocaust was real, which obviously it was, or they're saying like, hey, this is the impact it had. 6 million Jews were murdered. Okay. That's sad. It doesn't matter how you stretch it. It doesn't matter how you look at it. It doesn't matter what you say about it. That is sad. That's horrible. Human history at the hands of Europeans and Americans, okay, is horrible. Like, we could talk about wealth, we could talk about we could talk about technology advancements, but to be honest, the things that Americans and the things that Europeans have done to the rest of this world, their abuse of power has been the greatest threat to humanity for all time. From the very beginning of conquest till today, Europeans and Americans are some of the most destructive beings on earth. And when I say Europeans, no, I'm not talking about your regular old European person. I'm talking about the powers that exist in these countries, the institutions themselves, the institutions, whether it be okay, hold on, baby's woken up.
So sorry about what just happened. I actually fell asleep while trying to put Phoenix back to sleep. So wow, You're going to see me in a whole wardrobe change because this is now 7 hours later and I'm finishing this podcast. So anyways, good morning, everyone. Back with messages to me. Anyways, let's get into that last bit that we were talking about. Let's clear it up. Let's clear it up. So I was talking about what I've seen, and I've really been focusing on the Struggle Olympics. If you don't know what the Struggle Olympics are, this is really about people trying to outdo each other with how bad their situation is. And it's a weird flex because it's not a flex at all, but people seem to use it in the same way they would use a flex. So what I've seen, for example, after seeing that person's comment about the Holocaust and them saying that, you know, 6 million people died, another person was like, well, so many people died in the slave trade. So it's like, yeah, that's true. But what's the point here? Is it to diminish or minimize the suffering of certain people because it wasn't as vast or as extreme as another, or the numbers weren't as high as something else? Or is it about actually like taking a moment to consider or to do a real comparison that, you know, there's a lot of atrocities? And oftentimes it's not about comparing atrocities. It's almost always about, again, the Struggle Olympics and diminishing other people's experiences. So I'm not liking this space that we're going into. I'm not liking it. I've seen it happen for maybe the last, for the last while, to be honest. I want to say it came back up around the Black Lives Matter time. And we saw it when Blue Lives Matter, because they're trying to make it seem like, you know, their lives are on the line every day, and it's really terrible for them as well. So their lives should matter as well. And it's kind of like, well, first of all, that's not what we're talking about. And second of all, this isn't about diminishing anyone's struggle. And what we did see when the Black Lives Matter movement actually started was a number of communities decide to use the hashtag for their own communities because they were ready for the Struggle Olympics and they were interested in diminishing the needs and the requests of Black people at that very specific time, so that I don't even know what the reason was. It just became trendy. What the hell? Yeah, but on a real note, it became trendy at that time to diminish the needs of Black people, which was very clear at the time, which was to prevent and stop police brutality. And then we also had the individuals within the Black community who were now talking about, oh, well, we need to stop killing each other as well. And really, again, everyone was focused on not bringing the attention to what the problem was. And it was very simply stopping police force against Black people as a means of as a process of carrying out systematic racism and a process of destroying the Black community in very sinister ways by oftentimes at higher incarceration rates, unwarranted arrests in many cases, and then by brutality. Black people have to become, in a lot of Western countries, second-class citizens to exist like regular people, because that's just how society treats them. Like, the narrative we talk or tell about Black people is that they're always less than. And so police brutality has given us that same picture. It's been the use of force excessively for no reason that reminds Black people they are second-class citizens. And what made it worse during the Black Lives Matter movement is the fact that people went so far to diminish the experiences of Black people because they wanted to prove that they were struggling just as much, and they were trying to show that Black Lives. I don't know. Like I said, it was kind of backwards, and a lot of people did not even take a minute to question the fact that they might say, you know, Arab lives matter, or blue lives matter, or, you know, all lives matter. It was such a backhanded practice of diminishing Black lives and creating the same dynamic that the system does, that they are second class citizens, and that their movement, as necessary and as important as it is, still doesn't deserve the importance or the level of recognition that it deserves. One thing that I also noticed was when there was, I think maybe last year or the year before, at the height of, or I shouldn't say the height because it's been happening for so long, during the Palestinian-Israeli conflict that's still been taking place, we saw, I guess it finally came to people's recognition how bad things actually were in Palestine. And this is at the hands of the Israeli government, and they're terrible, okay? And they're backed by Western powers, which is even worse. And we had, what I did notice in comments, and I know that's not real life, but what I did notice, but it does reflect some of the thinking, and we can't deny that. People were saying, oh, well, we should be concerned about what's happening here with Black people. It's kind of like, yeah, we kind of know that, but we can also be concerned with otherworldly issues while trying to fight for our own. You don't have to pour all of yourself into this, but you can raise awareness, and that's okay. And I get you may have felt slighted because of the way people pushed over the Black Lives Matter movement, but I do think this isn't about saying we can't focus on anything else or anybody else's struggle. It's not even about a call to focus on that. It's about bringing awareness. The same way we wanted people to bring awareness to Black Lives Matter, it could be as easy for someone to say, well, I'm already going through this situation. Why would I focus on that? So when we try to keep on diminishing each other's struggle, or it's not even a struggle, the atrocities against communities, we are doing a disservice to ourselves every single time. And every single time, it's a losing game. Every single time, the victors are still the aggressors. The victors are still those in power who have created the conditions to actually enable these atrocities. So when it comes to the murder, and I'm going to give you some numbers. I know it's early, but I have to share this because it was sad when I found it. So for example, between 1885 and 1920, within 35 years, the population of Congo at the time went from 30 million to 8.5 million at the hands of Belgium. Okay? King Leopold, I don't remember which one, one or two. Disgusting. Let's talk about another thing. In the Americas, during the time once Columbus had arrived, so we're talking, was it 14? No, that was the beginning of the slave trade. So, from the time Columbus had arrived, okay, this decimated 10% of the world's population at the time through disease that was introduced by Europeans. And not just disease, murder, disease, anything that they used to take over the land. Okay, so we're seeing populations were decimated historically. Historically, but at no point should I ever, and I may have gotten into this a few times, and I reflect and I'm like, that's just, Mel, come on, this isn't what this is about. But when you look at stuff like that, you very quickly start to realize that everyone has gone through it. I'm not going to sit back and talk about the atrocities of the world. My goal here is for us to realize that as so many of us are struggling, or not just struggling, but have seen atrocities committed against our communities in the world at the hands of the exact same people okay, people in power. And we should really, I can't even speak about the Asian countries because I don't know enough about their history. But I speak to the darker nations that I know, Africans, Indians, indigenous people, even the Irish people, which I know they're white, but yeah, they've been through some stuff at the hands of the monarchy. Okay. And then let's talk about any people in Europeans, in the European group of people, when they refer to darker skinned people. There's been so much that has also happened to those Europeans. And we need to realize that the only real enemy that I think we've all ever had were rich white people. And genuinely not just rich in general, but white people with power. Like, and when we say that, monarchies, the ones who control countries, the heads of state in these countries, they're problematic for the whole world. And I'm not going to be like, we need to get rid of these people, but we need to realize who the real issue is and work together to reduce their power, limit their power. I don't want to say eradicate because that sounds like I'm trying to start some sort of craziness, but no, we need to ensure that the controlling interests of this whole world is not left in the hands of these people who have constantly tried to destroy it. And what does that mean? Well, I think the first step, because this conversation can be pretty sad and can be pretty, like, make you feel helpless and powerless. So I feel like the key is really to take back your personal power. And what does that mean? It means a few things. So I guess the way I've done it is recognizing that what I truly want in this world, I'm going to go for what I truly want. So this isn't just me going to work because I need to work in order to survive. That is fine. But recognizing that your choice of work makes the impact and the difference. Your choice of work determines how free or how empowered you feel on a constant basis. This is also about supporting other people's movements and shifts and change. This isn't just about voting in elections because it's your right. This is about deciding what you're going to do on a daily basis that is best for you and your community. And this is really about not ever feeling like your freedom is determined by your country or the people in charge. Free will is what you have, what you are born with, what is innate. Freedom is something that someone gives you so that you believe that you have the ability to, so that you have... Freedom is something people give you so that you believe you have privilege in their nation. When ultimately, the way it's set up, and if you followed specifically just their way of thinking and how they do things, then you don't, and you'll feel powerless. So the first step is taking back your personal power. For all of us, that means we're no longer victims of this trash system. We are people who stand in power, knowing that we are stronger together, we are connected, and together we can actually envision a better world. We are going to take back the world in the way that means we are changing for the better. Like, think about it. With all the atrocities committed against all of us, they really want us to be, they want us to destroy ourselves eventually and just take on the role they did and use it against each other. And we're not going to do that. At some point we have to realize that doesn't work. It has never worked. So we're going to do better. And imagine, by simply doing better, we're already destroying their system of destruction. We're now enabling a space where people can thrive, can be safe and secure, and work together and harmonize. Little things. But anyways, so that's what I've seen. We're not doing the Struggle Olympics anymore. That is going to be left in 2022. And we're going to realize, we're going to acknowledge and accept that everyone has gone through something. Let them share their stories. Let them share their realities and listen to them. Let people talk about the Holocaust and we can listen to them. Let people talk about the slave trade and we're going to listen to them. Let people talk about incarceration rates for Black people and brown people and we're going to listen to them. Let people talk about their rights being infringed on and we're going to listen to them. And we're going to figure out ways together to change that. We're going to support them in their rights. If it's simply a share because we feel bogged down by the way society is treating our own communities, we can still share their content. We can still talk about their fundraising efforts. We can still open up spaces for us to have these discussions so that we start realizing we are connected, sometimes because of struggle, but more times because our goal is the exact same. And that is all I'm saying for today. On what show are we on, guys? On Messages to Me. Thank you for tuning in and for listening. I hope, I promise you, I will not fall asleep next time. But I mean, you gotta put babies to sleep. So have a great day, guys. Bye.